Welcome to another episode of the Mind Like Books podcast. This time we're talking Marked, a young adult vampire high school Twilight knockoff. Joining me, I'm very excited to have you back on the podcast. However, I wish it would have been under better circumstances. How are you doing, Chen?
Well, I was doing better before I found out we were going to talk about this book.
No, it was your idea.
Yeah, but I regret my decision.
Damn it. I have asked you what you wanted to read, and you said you had the perfect idea. And I assume this was your revenge for our episode about kissing the coronavirus, where I made you read porn fiction fantasy, have sex with the coronavirus doctor mutation abomination person.
It was my revenge, but it's a double-edged sword.
So, this is a book you've read a long time ago.
Yeah.
And has it changed your opinion when you reread it?
Of it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
How?
I mean, I thought it was kind of bad when I read it the first time. But, you know, I was a teenager at the time, so I could just be like, yeah, whatever. But now that I'm an adult, I can't deal with the nonsense. I
can't deal with the nonsense.
I have no level of patience for it.
I enjoyed it much better than I could have, would have, or should have because of your amazing voice interpretation of all the characters, which we will get to later.
I just think that if you are going to read this book, you ought to experience it, you know, with the voices that I'm sure the author intended. They were the voices she was definitely thinking of.
Would you call this a Twilight knockoff or not really?
I mean, no. I think it's more like, I mean, like Twilight has nothing to do with going to school or becoming a vampire, like for the first three books.
Well, for the first book, it's exactly that.
Well, no, but I mean, like, okay, it's like she wants to be a vampire. In this one, it's kind of like, I guess people sort of like when they're vampires, but according to the main character, you don't like the idea of becoming one.
You've already talked about this profusely, and you hate me asking these questions, but I don't understand the world setting at all.
Oh, don't even start. Don't even start. This guy right here is one of those, like, uppity sci-fi, everything has to be explained to me.
No, I don't want it to be explained. I just want it to make sense in any way. It doesn't make sense in any way.
But this is one of those books. I'm not trying to give it credit. I'm just setting a tone for the audience. This is one of those books where you take in things and, like, it's something you're not used to, or you're like, wait a minute, you know, that sounds wrong. But then you're like, oh, okay, this must be the world norm. Like, rather than them tell you, you're supposed to just kind of take it in.
World norms are not explained. And there are certain things that are glaring questions that has to be answered.
No, like, it's not ready yet. They answer it as it goes.
For example, there are vampires.
Wait,
obviously.
Should we give like a synopsis of this book?
Yeah, we'll get to it. So there are vampires, and there are certain ways you deal with vampires in stories. So either the world knows that the vampires are there, so that is the case here. Mm-hmm. And therefore, how does the society deal with that? So in this world, they ignore it.
They did it! They sent them to freaking school!
Yeah, and there is like a giant school and like a whole society of vampires. Which, by the way, in this book, they're spelled with a Y. It's vampires. Yeah.
And which is so dumb. It's spelled with a Y, but then they keep an E on the end. Like, pick one. Pick a side. I-R-E or just Y-R.
Whatever. And then, like, the parents of the main character, they're like, kind of like, yeah, whatever. She's a vampire. Bye. Like.
But they've explained. Okay, again, I'm not trying to defend the book, but I am going to defend the fact that, like, these things that he is talking about have nothing to do with the book explanation. It has to do with how he thinks about books.
Like, there are blood-sucking people who are dangerous, super powerful compared to the normal population. The police or the army or the state has to have something to say about it. At least there should be some kind of treaty where the vampires don't
say... Okay, but, like, this is not a sci-fi book where 1,000 pages are just telling you what the fuck's going on in the universe. It is a fantasy novel.
It's okay in this world, but I don't know why or how.
It is explained, but it's not explained at the speed that he wants it explained. It's just explained at the pace of the novel, and you have to keep taking pieces of that information.
Okay, it's more of an episodic deal. It's going to be explained at some
point. Yeah, in each volume, every, like, you get a little bit more of what the heck's going on. And you're expected as the reader, like, that's not the main focus of the story. Obviously, this is not high fantasy whatsoever. Loose. Again, this is like the third time I'm saying it, but I'm not defending this novel. This novel is shit, but I am going to defend that that is not necessarily a problem with it.
Okay. So what's the synopsis?
The synopsis is girl will be vampire, girl goes to school, girl becomes popular, the end.
Oh my god.
I mean, she's, that's like totally special. I don't know. I guess stereotypical teen girl with nothing in her mind, this kind is of audience, like, this is the novel you go to.
The most stereotypical, like, cheesiest thing ever about high school girly life I've ever experienced. Yeah. And you can think of all these Hunger Games and Maze Runners and the Detergents and Divergents.
Detergent. Please rename that as Detergent. Insurgent Detergent.
I always say in the Detergent movie, there's a scene where they decide how the character is special. It's the most hilarious moment from all these stories to me. They put her in a VR, like, test, and there's a dog attacking her, and there's a piece of meat on the table and a knife or a gun or something. And she's there watching it, and she has to choose. And she has to, like, kill the dog or put the meat somewhere, and the dog distract it, run away. And what she does, you remember?
Nah.
She does nothing. Yeah. She just watches it and does nothing. And everybody's like, oh my god, you're the special, you're the chosen one.
But, again, in defense, I did not read this book, but I had someone explain to me who had read the books that that's not the point, and this is a clear example. My husband's just not getting it. It was, they were just seeing if you have fears or don't have fears. And she didn't have any fears, apparently.
She was just dumb and did nothing.
No. Well, I don't know. Maybe she actually was, and that's part of the story. And she just gets swept up into this. I have no idea.
Not only that, we find out in the Detergent universe, everybody's special because many people had no choice and were paralyzed by indecision, and then they were special as well. Whatever. So in this book, she's also special, obviously. And how does she become special? Is there any reason she becomes special? Does she do anything special? Does she prove herself in any way?
No, this one, in this book, it's supposed to be biological. I don't have a problem with it being biology.
She's been predestined.
In fact, I don't have a problem with the, like, stereotypical teenage attitudes. What I have a problem with is the actual dialogue itself.
The actual dialogue is on our rating scale of books. When you have this graph, it goes up, it's good, right? Yeah. It's in the time, and then it wraps around, it's so bad, it's good. It's almost reaching the wraparound to be good again.
Well, if I knew the book was a joke, it would be perfect. But I know it's not a joke, and so it's really bad.
But if it was self-aware, it wouldn't be as funny. So this one is trying really seriously to be serious, and it's really hilarious, the dialogue. So we'll get into some examples. And that's my, like, point. Did you enjoy the quote-unquote humor of this book?
I enjoyed making my own audiobook of this book. If I just read it, like, in my mind, like, just read it, I couldn't finish. I still couldn't finish it a second time, but there, I wouldn't have gotten past the first two pages.
There are some jokes that are so, like, in Czech, we call them, like, stone jokes. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so bad. It's not, like, dead jokes. It's even worse. Mm-hmm. And they're so bad, it's almost funny. Like at one point, they were eating at lunch in the mess hall, and Zoe, the main character, is eating, and her friend is like, Zoe, you're vibrating. And she's like, aha, it's my phone.
Okay, well, those jokes were really bad. They were only funny to, like, I guess kids.
I was like, almost made me laugh. I was like, another point, they discussed Titanic at some point. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Do you remember what they said about
the... Well, I remember they said something like really insensitive, even for like, this is has nothing to do with the Titanic thing now. This was a really old book, but it was pretty insensitive.
She said, did you watch Titanic? Like totally Leo slid down like an adorable popsicle.
Yeah, so that... yeah, that was...
What? So many things like this, so it's almost funny. So I was like, this is the only part that kept me going. I was waiting for the next insanity, like, over-the-top, underplayed, whatever joke. So how do you like the characters? Are they good characters?
A long time ago when I read the book, I liked Stevie Ray, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
When I read it, like, I think that was the only character that I was like, yeah, this character's okay. No, I don't mean like just because of their how they treated the main character or mm-hmm. other people, because then maybe her grandma would be the best, but I don't really like her grandma. I liked Stevie Ray, and I think that was the only character, because in later novels, she was the most sensible and something actually happened that made sense. Okay. Sort of. It was weird, but it is sort of.
Yeah.
But now, in terms of do I like any characters? Like, zero. I like none of them.
How do you like the men in this book?
I like, again, I think I like when I voiced some of them.
I think about all the main characters in this first book. What can you say about them?
You know what? I like, if I have to pick, like, who I think is okay in terms of male characters, then maybe I would pick Damien. Like, I guess he's all right, but I don't think much of any other male character.
Very amusing how people are constantly like, women are objectified and this is like not a character at all in all these stories, and women, why they can't write women. Mm-hmm. So these, right, they can't write men like...
Yeah, it was really bad. All the men are definitely
stereotypical. This is completely flipped. It's completely flipped, and the men are complete objects. They have nothing to do in any sense, in any way.
Yeah.
They have nothing to say, nothing to do. They're completely useless.
This is true.
Completely useless. There's not a single man character. Like, one of the most respectable man characters that appears is there for like 1 minute, and he just recites some chanting or something, and mm-hmm. then everybody adores him, and then he leaves, never mentioned again, and then all the other are just...
But he's mentioned in other novels.
Yeah, I'm talking about the first book right now.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, like...
Yeah, of course he might come up with it, yeah.
Well, just keep in mind, though, okay, this is for the audience, the novel happens in, like, a 2-day span, so, of course, some characters just don't come up again, so I'm going to say that one's a free pass. It's,
okay.
It is like 2 or 3 days that pass in the entire thing.
Okay. So this book has been written in 2007. That's 1 year before Twilight, I think. And this is written by PC Cast and Kristen Cast, who is mother and daughter.
Yeah.
And every single year they released one book in the series as soon as Twilight came out. And I think they are genius. They wrote whatever, and they made bank. This is somehow very popular. Some people, like, lots of reviews, lots of people read this. Who is reading this?
I don't know. At the time, it was, like, really intriguing. Even then, I thought it was a bit cringy. But like I said, I could look past stuff. I was interested in the vampire and, like, witch thing. Like, the concepts were very interesting, but everything else was a bunch of crap. So, like, you just kept reading to just see where are you going to go with the concepts of it.
So the writer, the mother, she was born in Japan at an Air Force base.
Oh, I was about to say, she was born in Japan? Nah, she doesn't count. That doesn't
But
count.
Then immediately left Japan and grew up in Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah, that's...
I knew you'd like that.
That's more like it. I thought they were from Oklahoma.
And currently she's in Portland. She lives in Portland, so she should definitely be on an episode of Portlandia.
maybe they've already made fun of her there. I don't know.
So her daughter, so she was born in 1986, the mother 1960. So she's the professional advisor about high school girly life.
Okay.
How would you describe them?
I'm not going to say anything too bad about her daughter in the sense at the time. I think she was like 16, and I'm not going to bully a 16-year-old that her 16-year-old personality or mind. Mm-hmm. But as an adult now, if I ever spoke to her or her mother and they asked my opinion mm-hmm. about their books, I would just be like, what the fuck were you thinking? If they asked.
this should be like a genre, because this is a mother who's been a writer for a long time. And at one point she was like, okay, my daughter is now going through her adolescence. Let's use her knowledge. And I'm going to use everything she says literally and write a book about it. And I do it every year. It's going to be a series. And it's going to go through all this. This reminds me, there is a guy who's a famous comic book artist, and he took his, I don't know if it's his younger brother or like his child or somebody's child. He took a toddler who wrote some like scribbles and who painted some, drew some pictures. And he adapted
it. I'm sorry, not laughing at kids drawing pictures. They're cute. Just.
So this boy, I don't even remember if it was a boy or a girl. They drew like a bunch of dinosaurs and fights and cops and like axes and swords. and the comic writer was like, I'm adapting this. And I'm going to make this a volume and an issue every month. I'm going to make an issue. It's going to be called X-Cop. And it became a really popular thing because of that. So it reminded me of this. Check out X-Cop. I highly recommend it.
Well, you know, you might be onto something, because honestly, even back when, like when I was like 14, 15 reading it, I thought to myself, maybe this writer can write, but all these suggestions she's getting, like she's taking too many of them to keep it locked in this teen world. Yeah. And I think, I mean, yeah, it made her money. But I think maybe the author is a little more clever than, you know, what she lets on from what has happened or what it was produced.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'm sure she took all of her daughter's suggestions so that she could have, yes, the authentic, or from one person's perspective, the authentic, like, teen experience. But it was locked so hard in there. That even teens themselves, unless you are that teen, because it was one person's opinion, you can't, like, enjoy it how I'm sure it was meant to be enjoyed. At least how the daughter thought that the book should be enjoyed.
Yeah.
The mother probably knew kind of what would happen.
It's an interesting way to write it, and I think the writer definitely can write, and I think she was trying to really tap into the, you know, the youth will read it. So this is for them.
Yeah.
And I think in that sense it works, maybe. Yeah. So it's kind of relatable.
But maybe, you know, have your daughter and her friends advise. It was literally one person and she barely has any knowledge.
But that's the charm. You have to have this, you know, this unshakable, like, we will never change what they're saying. And that's the charm of it. So in that sense, I think it's kind of succeeded.
Okay, but the daughter basically made herself the main character. Yes, and I want you all to go look at her after you listen to this podcast.
John told me, like, look up the pictures. And I couldn't stop laughing. So look up the pictures of the writer and the daughter. Amazing tattoos and smirk in their faces. I love it. So what we just said, the public clearly doesn't agree with. Because this has been the 16th New York Times top 150 bestseller list.
Dang.
It has also won the Romantic Times Reviewer's Choice Young Adult Novel Award in 2009.
I mean, it was super spicy, but super, like...
Which makes me believe and forever assume that the Times magazine doesn't know shit about anything. Because when we talked about Hyperion by Dan Simmons, check out episode 47 that almost killed me, they said that Hyperion is one of the top sci-fi novels ever written on the same level as Dune, which we all laughed at. And now they're saying... And now they're saying that Marked is number 16. What are they doing?
Well, maybe they're just going by sales. I think that's how it's measured, right? It's like ranking in universities. It's like the ranking is by the mean, I think like the mean salary that students will make when they get a job.
So maybe, but why did it win Times Reviewer's Choice? As the reviewers are talking, they are not buying it. There's no excuse there. Like, I get the bestsellers. I
mean, maybe they were paid. Like, you know, okay. Like some game companies pay people to review something. I don't know. Okay. I have no idea. No idea. Or maybe they were just, you know, like really creepy men writing these. How many of these reviewers were guys? I imagine a bunch of guys probably got off on it.
I think they can't
and get off on this. And lonely girls, no offense. It's
lonely girls, 100%. Guys can't get off on this.
If they're creeps, they can't.
Even creeps, there is nothing...
Okay, well, just see who are the reviewers.
There is nothing arousing on this. Yeah, so was it difficult to read? Like, do you think it's easy to read?
Like
nowadays, like, for
understand
you?
What it is, or no, like, just
get through it. Some books are kind of slog.
Yeah, I think it's terribly so. So that's why I was doing voices. As soon as I was reading the first page in my mind, I was like, "No, this needs some. This needs a makeover."
If you imagine Chan's amazing voice acting while reading it with all the characters, it's highly amusing. As soon as you don't, it's very slow. Nothing happens much.
The thing is, the main character almost seems sort of sensible if you give her, you know, a neutral voice. But I know that's not the voice that she has. And so that's why I did the voice acting. Because if you do read it, like, just read a book and you're not giving anyone any voices, you're just trying to see what they say. Like, don't let your brain process further than that. Yeah, I guess it's readable, a little bit boring, but you can almost sympathize with the main character. But I purposely put on the tone because I know that's what was meant to be there, and it fits, and it makes it hard to read but fun.
In that sense, it's very amusing. So the only way I would recommend it would be to have a public reading with your friends.
Yeah, maybe pick some voices. And
it's
then,
like people always make fun of 50 Shades of Grey, and people read it and they make fun of it. Maybe they should switch up. So this one would be probably funnier because 50 Shades is too long. This is also, like we said, the first book in a 12-book series. And I was very curious if it ended. So I checked the synopsis of the 12th book. That came out 2014, so it's exactly every year one book, or sometimes more, and it ended. There is a conclusion.
Wow.
It's wrapped up. Hallelujah.
Crazy.
They actually made it, so they are not writing this anymore.
Good.
However, they have written 20 books, the mother and daughter already, so there is plenty of other series going right now. And the names and titles of all these series and books are very amusing. So I will read you the first five like titles of this series, and and then the rest, let me try if you can guess at least one.
Okay.
So it starts with Marked. Yeah. The sequel is Betrayed, then Chosen.
Wait, you can't give me these because I read 10 of these, so okay, you have to go to like 11 and 12.
Then you should try to guess the last few. So it's Marked, Betrayed, Chosen, Untamed, Hunted, Tempted, Burned, Awakened, Destined, Hidden, and then the two last, can you guess?
Redeemed.
Oh, wow.
Oh! Okay, was that 11 or 12?
12.
Oh, what would be in between?
Damn, girl.
I mean, I know.
That's crazy.
Wow, what would be in between? I mean, you said she was like burned very, and other things.
It's
so
very,
like,
it's
okay.
Very easy and very dumb and very logical. You can guess it very, very quickly. I'm amazed you guessed the last one. It's not easy to guess, but the one but last is super easy to guess because it's Burned, Awakened, Destined, Hidden, and then...
I already have a word, but I want to think of a better word because this one's not so good. I don't tell me yet, but my two choices would be Revealed, because that's dumb, but I want another word for Revealed. Like reemerge. Nah, they're not clever. Revealed. I'm going to say Revealed.
Correct. Damn.
Wow.
I can't deal with you.
Yeah.
I can't deal with you.
I'm too clever for these books.
I can't deal with you.
Too clever.
Oh my God.
That's amazing.
So you said you read 12, 10 of these.
Yeah.
Are you okay?
I didn't finish the 10th one.
Okay.
I was just like speed reading at that point, and I was trying to see more of like Stevie Ray's story, but I couldn't deal anymore with Zoe, so I gave up.
So needless to say, I'm not reading the sequel.
Oh, no.
But I'll put up a poll under this episode, and please, readers, let us know in the poll or in the comments, should we do a follow-up episode and go through all the remaining 11 books, just because January knows, and I'm curious what happens, how they conclude this.
I will not be a
part. How are you not part of this?
I'm not suffering through those books again.
No. You're not reading all these books, obviously. You already know 10 of them. And yeah. I'm going to look at all the summaries of all of them. And then we can discuss the whole story in 12 books.
All right. Yeah,
so
maybe.
I've never done this. I always say I shouldn't do this. I've never talked about books I haven't read. So.
But I've read them.
But you've read them. And I think this shouldn't be read anyway. And there are 12 of them. So. I think we would only be doing the readers a service if they want to know what this is all about, and now it all goes down at the end when it's all revealed and redeemed.
Wow, man, I'm good. Wow.
I'm amazed.
That was crazy.
So, if you want to read this for some insane reason,
highly not recommended.
Needless to say, we don't recommend this. Stop listening. You're going to get into the spoilers. You're going to get over the plot. And I have some questions for Chen that she will not like. And you can look forward to our recounting of all the characters along with their voice that Chen has come up with. And I have to do the voice of the guy who was chanting the ritual, and I forgot his name.
Yeah, I can't do that voice. I ran out of guy voices. Well, I have like two.
So I'll do the guy voices, and Chen's gonna do the tribe. I'm basically just like two.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is like a guy who dies for no reason. He's never there. Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
And I was so confused, because when he died, I was like, this has to be a character that was mentioned before, right? And I completely confused him with a different character with a similar name, because there's no characters. Like, the boys are not characters.
I think they mentioned them, but maybe they just didn't talk. Speak, but they had mentioned them.
So the story starts with Zoe, and her surname before she decides to change her surname is something terrible, like Magnolia or something. Magnolens.
No,
I forgot. It's something with M. Mm. Then she changes her surname to her grandmother's surname to Zoe Bird. Redbird. Excuse me, yes.
Redbird.
So Zoe's 16. She goes to school. And what happens?
Well, she's like going to her locker, and some guy is standing there, and he marks her.
Do we ever see this guy again? Who is this guy?
He's just a marker. He's not at that school.
Yeah, but then she goes to the House of Shadows, I like to call it. So is he there somewhere? Does it ever come up in the sequel?
This is, again, one of those sci-fi whatever things, like, calm down. Why do you think this guy has to be attached to this thing? He's just what they call.
How this works.
It's just what they call a marker. And they go around marking people that are about to change biologically, like into vampires, I guess. And that's it. That's just their job. They're not teachers. They're not students. They're not whatever. That's their job in the real world. So they're not a part of the school.
So once
he works somewhere else.
But does he work for the House of? Night.
That's a school, so no.
Oh, okay.
It's
okay.
A different job.
Okay. So he's the like CIA of Empire's Mark. Okay.
It's like if you had a food critic, whatever. They don't work for the restaurant. They have a job.
Oh, they might.
So, Lord.
So he marks her, and she gets a fashionable mark on her forehead, because that's how it works, mm-hmm. And it's like a moon or something.
Yeah, like a crescent moon.
And her is immediately different because she's special. So I was about to give points why she's special, but there's too many, so whatever. So she's immediately special. And is it already she wants to belong? Like, she's not belonging in the school, so she's messed up, she cannot belong in the school?
Well, she has what I'd like to call, and you guys can't see, I'm adjusting my fake glasses right now. Like, I'm not wearing glasses, but I'm adjusting the air so that I can clarify. And I'm putting my hands together, and I might tap them together a few times as I explain. So, and I might even put my fingertips to my lips as I pause. So, she is what I would like to call the, you know, typical teen in denial. So, popular teen in denial. So, she thinks she's not fitting in, yet she has a lot of friends, and all of her friends are, like, top players on, like, sports teams or, or I don't know. They're definitely other popular kids. In fact, she mentions how things like band kids are bleh and stuff like that. Like, so she's already in the popular group. So I don't know what she means by fitting in, because she has already fit in. Yes. She has been fitted. But she's
completely fine.
Yeah, but she, in her mind, she thinks that she's not fitting in. Like, constantly, I guess she has, like, low self-esteem, but it's one of those low self-esteems that you can't have any sympathy for. Like, it's one of those where you're sure that someone's having some, like, mental problems, but you're like, your mental problems don't mean shit. You're fine. Like, she's not actually going through a crisis. No one's bullying her. No one has said anything bad about her. Nothing is going on. Yes. Even her family, like, it's just kind of typical.
But I'd like to mention that she has a big problem. Don't say it what it is. She's got a big problem with a certain thing that's going to happen very soon in her life, very soon.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure you know what it is. Mm-hmm. So I'd like you to say it and introduce yourself in the character of Zoe. Zoe Bell. I mean, Zoe Bird.
So the typical phrase, this is how you can sum up the character. This is like her catchphrase. She doesn't quite keep saying these things through the book, but they're kind of repeated, but, you know, just different sentences. But I can sum it up in like two, maybe. I'll recount that in a second. Just let me say it. So she says, I just want to fit in. And on top of that, I have to worry about this stupid geometry test. It's this fucking geometry test that she keeps saying that she has, and this apparently going to ruin her life. Fucking geometry is easy. And if any of you out there think that it's hard, I will fight you. You can fight me on it. I will teach it to you. In fact, if you want, it is not that difficult, especially when it's high school geometry. You learn it in freaking middle school. What do you mean high school geometry? Bitch, shut the fuck up about this geometry test. It's like the only thing on her schedule. She's like, yeah, like, English is so easy for me. You fucking speak English. And like other classes, like biology, I mean, I'm so good at it. You fucking just memorize biology. What is fucking hard about biology? You memorize it. If you memorized it, you're fine. It's like putting a sentence together. Like, I am Chan. That's what biology is. You memorize a sentence. Fucking bitch.
This comes up so often. She was about to die in some dire situation, and she's like, at least I don't have to do this biology geometry test.
Yeah, she was literally like, my head felt so bad, like, it hurts so much. I just thought, if I die now, at least I won't have to take this geometry test. That bitch! Bitch, that's your problem! The geometry test!
So to come back to the beginning when we started talking about this, I suspect that this is the mother making fun of the daughter.
I hope.
And I think this is her, like, you know, putting the jokes there for us. And
I hope she's that clever.
I don't know if this is intentional, but there are many moments like this. And I think she's doing it on purpose. And I like to believe that she's very clever about this. And it's actually funny sometimes. So I have to give it for her for that. It's so bad, it's actually funny.
Yeah, she might actually be making fun of her daughter. Like, her daughter probably thought, you know, she's putting her essence in the book, but she doesn't know that her mom is kind of making fun of her.
So I hope when the daughter is like 30, 40, and the mother is writing like one of her last books, she's going to write a story and she's going to be like, I got you.
I would love that, in fact, and it would explain all of these novels.
So she's very, very, very depressed about her geometry class.
Damn it.
A test, and the reason she copes with it is she doesn't talk to her friends, she doesn't study for it, but she goes home and she talks about it to her best friend, whose name is
Otis the Shish.
Yes.
Best character besides Stevie Ray.
Isn't it Odish?
I thought it was Otis. No, it's Otis the Shish. Who you is can a, say, yeah.
Is it a goldfish? Or what kind of fish is it?
I don't know.
They some don't kind say. Of fish. It's a fish.
Maybe it's like a goldfish. I don't know.
And after she leaves to the House of Shadows, which is not shadows but night, is it like ever again in the sequels, the fish?
I think it comes back, but yeah, in the first book, it doesn't say anything. But again, the first book happens in like 3 days.
Okay.
So.
I was sad. I was hoping to see Odish the Shish come up and save the day.
I think he comes back.
I was hoping she would be, or he would be enchanted or cursed or
cursed. Wait, was that one of the titles of the book?
It yes, been... maybe. I don't know, possibly. And I was hoping that it would be like the cat in the TV show Sabrina.
Oh
like...
that would be really awesome.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, of course not.
It's not that magical.
That would require creativity. So nope. That's not there, of course. But I was really like, yeah, this is like, it's gonna be a fun animal thing here. And she's gonna carry it around in the fishbowl. He's gonna talk and jump up and curse somebody. No, of course not. That would be too fun.
Maybe the daughter didn't allow it. Maybe she really has this in real life. And she's like, Mom, like, don't put that in the book. And then that's what happened.
So she gets marked in the school. And immediately she meets her ex, Heath.
Yeah.
And he's like, Zoe, I still...
No, that's not how he talks. Well, the two of the guys, I give the exact same voice because who cares? But the idea behind it is like in the Key and Peele sketch, Andre.
Okay.
But I can't really do Andre's voice, but I also put Megan in the story, but that's a different character. It's not Zoe.
If you don't know this comedy sketch, we'll put a clip here so you know what you're talking about. So.
God, the moment I saw you last night at the club, totally had to ask you out. Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Like the moment?
Oh, yeah.
That's so sweet.
I was actually afraid that you were gonna be like one of those high maintenance chicks, you know?
What?
Yeah, oh yeah.
I'm like, I totally just like to be just like easygoing.
Yeah, yeah. I'm winning. I'll
it's
be
been
your
five
waiter.
Minutes and we're just now getting our menus.
So Andre, I can't really do the voice, but he's just like, Zoe, like, it's okay if you become a vampire, yo, that's dope. Like, you're still sexy. Like
all the other people in the school come immediately dismiss her and call her freak, which they never actually say anything. I think that's just her thinking.
Yeah, they don't say shit. They just keep looking at her mark because it's different. She's like, oh my god, like, I just want to fit in, but I got this stupid mark on my face, and everybody's looking at me.
So all the characters in the school completely dismissed. Nothing is important. Like everybody who's in the school, whatever, doesn't matter. Only Heath maybe comes
they're
back.
Like, they're actual NPCs in a story.
There's nothing about them. Nothing matters. Nobody, the teachers in the school, nothing is mentioned. She goes home. And school ceased to exist and we moved to the vampire school. But before we moved to the vampire school, she talks to her parents and the mother is just completely bad to her. Her father is completely bad. So the mother completely...
Stepfather.
So the mother blames her and she says, it's your fault that you're marked. Doesn't make any sense. And the father is a stepfather called Stepbastard. What is he called?
Step-loser.
Step-loser, yes. And he's very religious. And he wants to do something. So I give it to the father. He actually cares about his daughter.
Sort of.
Like, kind of.
Not really.
Compared to the mother who said, oh, it's all your fault, bye. The father was like, okay, I'm a bad father, but I'm going to try to do something.
Well, yeah, I guess he tries to correct her. So he thinks he's being, like, a fatherly figure, but it's not appropriate for what she needs.
Yes. So she's feeling sick, and she's, told that if she doesn't go to the House of Shadows, which is not the Shadow of the Night, she goes to... she will die, or I don't know. Some people don't survive the change to a vampire, so she has to go there to be with vampires, or to be... The whole time I thought she would be treated somehow, but no, she just has to be there.
Yeah, it's like explained later in books, maybe even this one, and I forgot about it, but the other vampires kind of let off a kind of pheromone that helps, I guess, settle their, change hormones or something. Like, I don't know. It's like a placebo effect or something. I don't know. So because it's not really a placebo. It does something.
So because the step loser is a religious somebody, he's a priest maybe, I forgot. Mm. So he's got like a religious group of elders who will come and try to, I guess, exorcise the vampire demon out of her. Mm. Which I was still waiting to somebody to bite her, which never comes up. Does it come up that somebody bites her later?
No, like, see, that's not how it works here.
Exactly.
In this, that's all. Not right now. Like, that's not it. Like, so in this story, what you deal with for like 5 books or maybe just 4 books are what is known later as blue vampires. So that's what we're talking about right now, are blue vampires.
Oh, excuse me.
So I'll just leave it at that. Okay. But they are blue vampires, okay. And you are not bitten. You change into, I don't know.
Okay. So Zoe just, like, whatever, I run away, and she escapes. And she goes to Sylvia, who is a Cherokee wise woman, also her grandmother.
Excuse me. She, in fact, she describes her as, well, herself, having some of her grandmother's features, which she's the granddaughter, so, girl, you ain't Cherokee. But anyway, she describes herself as having features, like, from her grandmother, who is Cherokee, and those features make her look very wild and ancient.
Okay.
I mean, there are 2 very wrong things about these statements, but the author was trying to make this seem like, ooh, like, you know, this is exotic. This is what I want to be. But wild and ancient may not have been the words I would have chosen.
So Zoe loves her Mima, of course. But before we talk about her, I have to say, I was waiting the whole book for this step loser to do something. Mm-hmm. He did nothing. Does he ever do something?
I thought they came later and they, like, talk. Like, her mother and...
They never talked again.
Oh, maybe that's in the second book. They come and they see her. It's 3 days!
Okay! But the whole book, the parents do nothing. So it's like, okay, Zoe left, whatever. I was just... Okay. Okay. So the grandmother helps her, teaches her, advises her, guides her. But before... I don't know at which point Zoe passes out.
Yeah.
Is it before she gets to the grandmother, after?
Yeah, her grandmother, like, finds her and takes her to the school.
Oh, so it's like, okay.
She, like, falls and, like, busts her head up, and she keeps talking about this stupid crevice she's looking in. She, like, has some hallucination where she sees the goddess.
The goddess Nyx.
Yeah.
And I have a typo in my notes, and it says Nux.
It is forever now Nox.
And Nox says... You will be my eyes and ears in the House of Shadows.
Zoe, you will be my eyes and ears in the House of Shadows.
Night.
Shadows.
I don't know why. The whole time I thought it was Shadows. It was Night. So she also gets some other wisdom. There is a phrase that is repeated very, very much. And also at this point, the goddess says it. And it is, darkness does not always equate evil.
Oh, yeah.
Light does not always bring good. Mm. So is this somehow significant in any way?
I think, like, they were trying to be a little bit progressive, to be honest with this one. Because this didn't bother me, because I kind of agree. And it always makes me so annoyed when I read old books which always have these, like, concepts. Like, how could you ever apply these 2 things together? Obviously, it was because of, like, racism and other stuff. Mm. But I mean, like, literally, like, what do either of those things have to do with one another? I think more like, if you want to try to attach them, it might be easy to use, like, something like light for good, you know, like energy or making things or stuff like that. But you can make bad things too. But darkness It's very mysterious. Maybe you could do something evil with it because it's something so unknown or whatever. But none of these, neither of them have any. So I don't mind that they put that there because that's just a strong theme that's even now, like, be a little more creative. And I don't mean just outside of racism. I mean, be more creative. That is the oldest, driest, like, I need to, like, wet my palate, like, when I hear people are like, the darkness is coming or something. Like, come on now. So I don't
Things
mind
Things are not
it.
Black and white. I appreciate the sentiment. I just meant I hope this is actually utilized in this book series.
I don't know. I think they were just putting in some stuff.
Like, they keep saying it, but I haven't seen them do it yet. So I hope they actually do something with this.
I mean, she goes to the House of Night and the whole time she keeps bashing going, is she going to become some disgusting, like, vampire kid? So maybe it's like a reminder, like, like, you know, think about what you're saying. Like, I think it's kind of a way to, as an overtone of how she's being a bit shallow and superficial, like, think outside the box a little bit.
Okay, so the grandmother saves her and takes her to the high school of shadows, whatever. And they and they made Neferet, who is the headmaster.
Yeah.
And this has been maybe 4 chapters now. There are 30 chapters. The remaining, I would say 20 chapters, nothing happens, and all that's talked about is how she goes to school and meets all these characters, and then the last maybe 5 chapters, something actually happens.
I would beg to differ, because in those 20 chapters, we were reaffirmed that finally she didn't have to deal with geometry anymore. That's so, what we got.
So the chunk of this book is nothing. There's nothing. Nothing happens.
There is a lot of discontinuity. Like, continuity errors are all over the place, and there is no retcon that properly fixes it.
So, dear readers, the only thing you can do at this point is to imagine lovely voices of the other characters that appear, and we shall do that just now.
Okay.
So, Stevie Ray, your favorite character.
Hi, I'm Stevie Ray. I'm your new roommate. I'm sure she says that at some point.
Yeah, she does say that. Exactly.
So that's
she talks
Stevie
about
Ray.
Where the mess hall is and what she should dress up as and all this.
Yeah.
So she's lovable and she's like a very supportive best friend.
Yeah.
Never does anything interesting.
Yeah, she's like, okay. She gets more interesting later, but...
So now after that, there is... So Shawnee.
Oh, so let me give you some context for Shawnee, okay? Remember, this is Oklahoma. For those of you who are not U.S. citizens or know anything about the USA, or you are U.S. citizens and you're from Oklahoma and don't know other places exist, Oklahoma is, it's a state that's basically like, you know, a big countryside city. There are many states that are like that, including my own. So I... Yeah, they're not, I will say they are ignorant, and don't take that the wrong way. Ignorant and stupid don't mean the same thing. Ignorant means you don't know. So there's a lot of ignorance there, and especially in terms of other races, okay? It's mostly one race of people that is there, and yeah, so they're a bit ignorant, and Shawnee is mixed, so she is white American, or you can say European American / Black American or African American. And, you know, when people who are ignorant try to describe other people in books, often they're trying to describe them in nice ways, but their ignorance is, you know, they, you know, hurt themselves in their confusion. You know,
It's a very funny phrase I remember saying all this character.
I mean, it's that Pokemon phrase. It's perfect. That's what it is. So, like, they describe Shawnee, like, saying, you know, she's so pretty, and they talk about, you know, like, her skin and her hair and all this stuff. Like, you know, they're trying to be nice. But when you read the things that Shawnee says and how they describe her mannerisms, I know this is the voice that they were thinking of, and it's not the voice that I think that she should have, or necessarily that people of this type would have, but I'm gonna say it how I know they imagined it. So this is Shawnee. Okay, so let me start. I was hoping it'd be something more interesting, something good and gossipy. So there.
Also, doesn't come up in the story at all. Mm-hmm. Does nothing.
She does later. So later.
Yeah, so I hope these characters pay off at some point.
They do.
Not in the first book, mind you. No. So then there is some men. So let's do some boys.
What about the Shawnee's twin? There's Aaron.
Okay.
Well, I'm just putting her here because Aaron. These are like the main girls. So Aaron, that basically makes sound like the main character, but a little bit lighter tone. So let me and talking a little bit faster. Because I imagine she's a little bit smarter. Okay, so Aaron was like, I like it. If everyone called things what they are, we'd all be a lot less confused. So that's Aaron. Basically Zoe, but faster, lighter tone. That's it. It's enough.
Okay, so we have to talk about Damien. How would you describe Damien? You said he's a good character.
He's an okay character. Again, another, you know, Oklahoma, like, ignorance. And I won't say everyone in Oklahoma, but the ignorance of the authors. Again, trying to make, you know, the homosexual community, like, bring them up a bit. That's fine. But just hurting themselves in their confusion again. So, Damien... He's gay, but at this time, you know, we're not talking about things like genders, so I don't know what gender he is, but his sex is male, and he likes boys, and I guess he hangs out with all of these girls, but they describe him as not being the typical flamboyant, over-the-top gay. That's what they say. Typical flamboyant, over-the-top gay. He's normal gay. Okay, so ignorance again, but okay. So I just gave him my voice. I just speak in my tone.
So if I started with this conversation, Shawnee said that there's something, she was hoping for something gossipy.
Yeah.
So I'd like you to, if you don't mind, go over this short exchange of like what people say.
So starting from sorry. Sorry is Zoe. So let me start. Sorry, I muttered. Careful, twin, Aaron said to Shawnee, jerking her head at the dark daughters. You're starting to sound like you should sit over at that table. Shawnee's face twisted. I wouldn't be caught undead with those bitches. You're confusing the crap out of Zoe, Stevie Ray said. Damien gave a long, suffering sigh. I'll explain, proving once again how valuable I am to this group, penis or no penis. I really wish you wouldn't use the P word, Stevie Ray said, especially when I'm trying to eat. I like it, Aaron chimed in.
So this is 90% of the book. These conversations.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
And imagine when you have, you know, an audio recording that doesn't do any differentiation or nothing. You need it in there.
But what was missing in this exchange was my favorite character, Aphrodite. It's Megan from the sketch we mentioned
also
before.
Also Eric, though. But Aphrodite. Megan.
Aphrodite is where it's at.
Megan.
So they come to school, the House of Shadows school, and they they meet Aphrodite. And the first thing she says...
But what does she look like first?
She looks like a bitch.
She looks like... Who is it that they say? They call her like mini SJP.
Sexy
Sarah
Jessica Parker.
Yeah, because they say that she's beautiful like Sarah Jessica Parker.
It's already wrong.
I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying that's what they said. I did not say these words.
Already wrong.
I didn't say that.
I'm kind of inside joke somebody for the mother again.
Okay, so we have mini SJP. They're walking around with Zoe and stuff, and Aphrodite is showing her something, and she mentions something about herself. And Aphrodite says these lines to the main character. And, you know, the main character actually reacted appropriately to these lines, probably the only appropriate reaction in this whole book. But the Aphrodite says, "This place is cool because I'm cool." So, yeah. And they constantly talk about how she's twitching and flitting away. So I'm always like twitching and flitting when I say her voice. Use her voice.
She's also very good at her crotch flailing dance.
Crotch flailing dance.
They describe. So let's just move on. Let's just go to the end of this. Okay. So there is a bunch of things that happens. Like, to sum up, Zoe is super special. Anything that happens, she's special. She's good at her class. She's more advanced than the others. Then her mark is filling up faster than the others. And the mark fills up. Then you're like a proper vampire.
Basically, she is the main character. She's the... what he's trying to say is she's the main character. Okay? Like, think about what I'm saying. Like, if you could do any and everything in your power to make someone the main character, that is what has been done to this character. She is too much of the main character. That's it. Everything happens to her. Everybody likes her that should like her. Everybody that hates her that should hate her. She has all the powers, yes. All the beauty, all the everything.
All the teachers she likes her back. She is chosen by her favorite cat.
Yeah.
She is loved and kissed and becomes girlfriend of her senpai, best looking hunky boy.
Yeah.
And she is like filling up this mark, and then she finds out she has superpowers because she has the affinity for all the elements.
Yeah, it's
everything stereotypical you can think of, and it happens to her. Everything goes her way. Everything is wonderful for her, but she keeps saying she cannot belong, she cannot fit. Everything's terrible, and she's very unhappy with herself.
But that's so that the author can just throw back in some conflict, because there's no conflict for her.
So the five elements. For the listeners, of course, there is water, fire, earth, air, whatever, which is the fifth element. What do you think is fifth element?
Yeah, I know what it is.
So, for the readers, think about it. And it is?
Yes, spirit.
Okay, it's not love.
I mean, this isn't Captain Planet.
Fortunately, it's not love. So, I was afraid. So Eric is the senpai hunky boy. When he kisses her, electric desire flashes through her, and she's okay. Then there is this kid called Elliot we mentioned, and because the change into vampire is dangerous, and all of them are kind of worried, but none of them are really worried, and they keep mentioning it, but none of them really care about it. They mention at some point in the book that 1 out of 10 kids die during the change because they can't endure the change. So to prove the point, they had to show Elliot die.
Mm.
Anybody said about it for like 1 second, and then they completely forget it, and nobody cares. Yeah. Why is it even okay? So then we get to like this conflict between the dark daughters and sons.
I'm sorry, before we have to go on, there is only one thing that I need you to really know about this book. And the reason why I say don't read this book. I mean, this author's put in some work. She's made some novels. Kudos to her. That's fine. I'm not saying don't read her books because I don't like it. I'm saying don't read these books if you feel like you are someone that is easily manipulated by other people's thoughts. Because the main character's thoughts are all over the fucking place, and everything she says is hypocritical.
Yes.
Every fucking thing she says is hypocritical. And sometimes it's the very next sentence where the hypocrisy happens. Like, for instance, she'll say something like, I feel bad that like some vampire kid got marked at our school and everybody was getting away from them and thought that they were gross.
Hmm.
But then she's like, ew, I don't want to be a fucking vampire kid. Or she'll be like, wow, these vampires, they look so beautiful and handsome. But ew, look at all these other gross vampire kids running around. I hope I don't look like them. Or this Elliot kid. Like, she's like, ew, he's so gross and he has ruddy red hair. Sorry, gingers, you're not a part of this. You're not allowed to be in this story. Gay people are okay. Mixed people are okay, but don't you dare be ginger. Mm-mm-mm, you are not liked. And so she's talking about how this kid is ginger and it makes him terrible. And so it's okay if he dies. But so she's terrible. She talks about how she wants to fit in, and she's constantly, 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 continually judging other people. So do not read this book if you are highly susceptible to such information.
So if the character got her comeuppance at some point for this, or it was at some point pointed out, or somebody even mentioned it, or she realized it, there would be some sort of lesson in this. But there is not.
I want to take your hopes away, in fact, exactly. Right now. Exactly. I think in like book six, and you know, this is a super spoiler. This doesn't really happen, but sort of happened. I'm going to use a term, but what I mean by this term doesn't actually mean what you think it means, but it's the equivalent of this in the vampire world. A boy rapes some girl, and then she becomes boyfriend and girlfriend with that boy. Though first she's like, you raped this girl, but then later she's like, oh, he's so sweet, he's so awesome. Is like a matter of like a day.
Oh my god.
So it's not actual this word, but I'm saying like it's the equivalent in the vampire world. So there is no redemption, even though that last book says redeemed.
We're gonna take you up on this. We should do this full episode, and we're gonna do all of the books but not read them, and we will find out what happens if it actually redeemed. But there's something that has to be said that makes me kind of worried for no reason. A large part of storytelling is always having a lesson, especially for children. Like the Brothers Grimm and all these like fairy tales and folk tales, they would tell children something they shouldn't do. And isn't that something that should be also in stories nowadays? And I feel like it's completely disappearing out of storytelling, and especially for young adult books. There's all these young adult books that are so insanely popular, and hardly ever is there a lesson. Like, for example, in the Harry Potter series, it's there, kind of. Like, you can see moments where they're kind of doing this. Like, they're kind of telling people what's okay and what's not okay, and how you should live to be a person in society that's not frowned upon, you know? Like, to be a person, not to be normal. In these stories, completely flipped, and it's almost how to be like an idiot. And what you just said, like, if the people who are gullible read this and take it to heart,
It's not for the gullible reader. Not that you'd be able to tell if you're gullible,
That's the thing I'm trying to say. Like, those people are reading this. Like, that's only those people.
Yeah.
It's like when we talked about when you have a scam online and they have the broken grammar and like scrambled up words, and the people who don't mind that and keep talking to the scammers, those are the people most gullible, and those will be abused. And the people who can tell, they will leave. So, damn it. Like, who is this doing? And that makes me wonder, like, does the writer care? Like, she is a clever woman, like, she can write and she has written many books. So I have faith that there is gonna be some message in book 12, at least.
I don't know. I'm gonna go by what they say about, you know, artists. They always make fun of musicians specifically, but you know how they say that they all go to some place? Maybe, you know, she just wanted her money, so maybe she's also going to that place. I don't know. I don't know, but she's a clever one.
It's a thing that worries me in storytelling recently, especially movies, and like this kind of have fun and make the characters like red and cool and like, I don't know. So let's move on to the plot to wrap this up. And I have some questions that will not make you happy, but they are not the type of questions you'd expect. It's just something I didn't understand what happened. So they have this sons and daughters, darkness, shadows thing. So it's called the dark daughters and sons, which, by the way, no sons. There are none. I haven't seen one.
There was.
Not considered at all. And Aphrodite, my favorite character, is the leader of it somehow. Can you say that you're the leader of the dark sons of shadows in the voice, please, Victor, to make me happy?
What should I say?
Says that I am Aphrodite and I'm the most amazing leader of the dark daughters.
I'm Aphrodite and I'm the leader of this group.
So Aphrodite,
better respect me.
So Aphrodite likes to spice things out. So she puts wine in a fridge.
What's this?
And everybody, what did I keep saying? I was laughing at it so much because they were like, yeah, we have this fridge and we have the fridgey things. What? Or the refrigerators. Or something, what? Or something like, because they put blood in wine. Yeah. And they put it in the refrigerator. And then they call the stuff they have in the refrigerator like a word. And I forgot what it was.
No, you completely misunderstood this entire
story. I was sure it would make me happy.
No. What has happened is, okay, like, in this school, there are, like, different, you know, school years, whatever, and as you become, well, obviously, but as you become higher school, like, a later year, you become almost an adult vampire, full vampire. So some of those kids like to sometimes drink blood, but they hide it in wine. I guess those things taste the same. No. I don't know. But the refrigerator was another vampire just on campus. Like, I don't know why they agreed or what they get out of it, whatever, but they use that person's blood because they're not allowed to take human blood. So they use another, like, kid vampire that's like, yeah, okay, you can use my blood, and they put it
I'm very
punch.
Happy I could make you laugh at that.
That was stupid.
So the refrigerator guy is a fledgling who is not a full vampire.
Yeah.
And they only make a point to drink blood of fledglings and not people because the people are too arousing to drink from.
Well, that and, like, it's like in Harry Potter world, like, you can't just be out there doing magic and you're not fully understanding of magic. Like, you can't bother the other people.
So this is like smoking behind school or something?
Yeah, I guess. It's like doing, like, weed on the school grounds.
And this Dark Daughters, I'm so confused. Like, is this a thing the school organized? Is this, like, an underground thing?
So this school, this vampire school is, like, something between high school and college, so I think it's like a club, but more like a sorority fraternity type thing.
But the teachers know it exists.
Yeah, they say it in the
story. Yeah, of course, and they approve of it.
Yeah, they apparently the headmaster said she approved of it.
And
yeah,
that's why I'm so confused because they do like things that are like not okay. So they shouldn't drink blood. So they drink blood. Zoe is super aroused and disgusted at the same time, and she has all this conflict about drinking blood and not drinking blood. And then she, like, scratches up her ex and drinks a little bit of blood and she's super aroused again. Mm-hmm. Nothing of this is arousing.
That was ex, not eggs.
And then there is this, like, plot line that Zoe talks to Neferet, the headmaster. And mm-hmm. Neferet says, oh, Zoe, you have to make a choice.
Zoe, you have to make a choice. Are you with us or are you with them?
And as Zoe, I had no idea what that meant.
I had no idea what she was talking about.
This is literally what I said, what she said in the book, and I was like, I also don't understand. What is happening? Because it's just the sorority club, so why is this a choice between the school and the sorority club? And then they decide that they will let Zoe go there as a spy, sort of, in the Dark Daughters, and find out what they're really up to, and then she will, like, prove herself or not, and she will show if she's in the school with the Dark Daughters. Isn't it the same thing?
Yeah, but I think, like, at the time that you're reading it, sure, it doesn't make any sense, but I mean, the book is stupid, but this was supposed to be, it was the author or the daughter's idea, like, just really bad storytelling, trying to, like, put in a foreshadowing for a twist. No, yeah. For a twist later. Okay. Like, Neferet's not good, and obviously she wanted her to sort of infiltrate, see what they're talking about, what's going on, what are they doing, because it comes up more later in the stories, like, how Aphrodite, did they talk about her powers in this book? Well, she sees the future, so, yeah, you want to control that. So she has real powers, like she's an oracle.
So
it was supposed to be like a setup for plot twist, but it was just done really badly. That's pretty much it.
So that's one point. Thank you for explaining. Another point I completely don't understand. So Zoe drinks the blood, and then she somehow becomes impure or whatever. She becomes inducted into darkness. I don't understand what that meant. Like, she somehow, something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And she questions herself, and something's like, she's becoming like too into blood, and so she has to go through a purification ritual. And she, there's like a whole part of this book where she gathers things to gather all these things. And then they go through this ritual with her friends and she proves she has affinity to all these elements and she can do the ritual and she purifies herself. Why?
Because, well, two things. One thing, I want to talk about the purification ritual, but number one, she's trying to fit in. What did you not get? They made her drink blood and now she feels weird because she's acting like a vampire, which she's turning into, but she's not supposed to be a vampire yet.
Oh my god.
Okay? She wants to fit in. Okay?
Oh my god.
There is absolutely no other reason except she was trying to be very normal.
So very important she purifies herself, no idea why.
And she purifies herself, she adds sage to the ritual because her Cherokee heritage says that sage is very purifying. And even though she hasn't spent any time with her grandmother or anything, she claims this heritage and she's just like, yeah, like, it's sage. But... I believe, you know, in Native American practices, that's fine. And that's for this particular group, I guess, according to the author, they might use this, like this type of incense or cleansing and whatnot. That's perfectly fine. But where does this girl get off in her entire life? She has never once at all lived in any manner or way as Native American. But all of a sudden, she's just like, yeah, I'm Native American. So I'm not saying people can't use sage, but I'm saying her reasoning was that she is Native American. Okay.
So purification happened. We can only wonder why. And then there is the final conflict. And this is probably my favorite part of the book, because finally my favorite character, Aphrodite, has to say things and Zoe has to like talk back, and they have these retorts and they like talk at each other, and at one point I forgot who says it, somebody says, well, hell.
That was Zoe. That was definitely Zoe. Well, hell.
At other points, Zoe and Aphrodite want to one-up each other, and Aphrodite wants to show Zoe that she's really dumb, and she tells her a bunch of stuff. So this is my favorite part, and I need you to tell it in Megan's voice. These lines, please. Okay. So why does what does Aphrodite tell Zoe that it's so wrong about Zoe?
Nice dress, Zoe. It looks just like mine. Oh wait, it used to be mine. Aphrodite laughed a throaty, I'm so grown and you're just a kid laugh. I really hate it when girls do that. I mean, yes, she's older, but I have boobs too. I have boobs too. That's what I amount to. I am boobs. That's why I'm just as good as you.
That's exactly why I chose this quote. I was sure that you would be tickled by that. So by the way, did Zoe inherit the Aphrodite's dress? What happened? She never explained this.
Yes, no, they did. At the ritual when she was invited to Dark Daughters, she shoved her in the bathroom and she was like, yeah, we have to give you something so you get to have my dress and that's your inductee, whatever.
What an evil thing to do.
Yeah, she gave her a dress. Wow.
So this final confrontation happens. Zoe goes to this ritual that Aphrodite does in secret. And the ritual is to celebrate some kind of festival, special day, holiday.
Samhain.
Okay.
Samhain. I guess that's that's how we pronounce it in English. It's an Irish word, I believe.
Is that the real thing?
Yeah, that's the like one of the pagan names for Halloween. Like I don't know which pagan tradition, but like for instance Wiccan, they say like Samhain or however it's pronounced, sorry.
Yeah.
But I, it looks like it says Samhain, but I think it's Samhain or Samhain or something like that. It's like the name Siobhan. It in English it doesn't look like Siobhan, but it's Siobhan.
So the ritual consists of making a safety circle or something, and then Aphrodite summons some dark spirits and they offer them some blood. And I assume the spirits should take the blood and disappear, is what should happen.
Yeah, I don't remember about this.
They never explained what should happen. A lot of stuff went wrong, but what is this really about? I guess it's about Aphrodite showing off, because she's wearing like the most sexualized red dress with long blood long blonde hair.
Yo, we got young bloods, now we got long bloods.
They keep describing how beautiful she is, and they keep describing from this point of view. And then Zoe describes how she's beautiful and she hates her. And then this character describes how she is so sexy. And then this, like, the gay point of view, how she's sexy. And then the ex comes in and she's all over her.
By the way, she's 16, so don't you dare be thinking she's sexy while you're reading.
We don't know how old Aphrodite is. They never said.
They're all like, well, okay, actually, Aphrodite might be like 19 or something.
Yeah, so you're allowed to think about Aphrodite.
I think they go through like 4 years. I think you can be like up to 20 or something in this one. 19 maybe?
Whatever.
Like that. I'm just saying. But I think she was, yeah, showing off, but she was like trying. It was like the vampire witch way in this story. Like, you know, they're like vampire witches, like witch. And it was their way of, like, having fun on Halloween because, you know, like, Halloween's all about dark spirits, whatever. Not, like, dark spirits, but, like, you know, you dress up and you're trying to fit in with the spirits so that they don't take you away. Kind of, like, that was sort of the original idea. So you fool the spirits. But instead, she's, like, summoning spirits, like, kind of like doing the Ouija board, but she didn't have the Ouija board.
So it's in secret. It's
sorry, the Ouija, like, or the Ouija. Ouija board.
Yes. Super climax of this book doesn't involve sex, which makes me very disappointed. And
you didn't read far enough.
This book. So yeah, I was waiting for a sex scene. There wasn't any.
Yeah, it's really awkward to read teenage sex scenes. When I was a teenager, I was like, ooh.
Exactly, I was waiting for that. I was I was so ready to laugh at that, and there wasn't any.
I think it was a little bit inappropriate. I thought so at the time, even a little bit inappropriate for the audience. Not because teenagers, whatever, don't have sex. Some do, some don't. But I mean, like, to go into certain details if you meant for this novel to be enjoyed by an adult audience as well. It's a little bit like, maybe I shouldn't be reading this. So I think it really made it stuck to be teenager or else creepy people reading it.
Yeah. So what happens is that Aphrodite should burn some herb, like herb A, I forgot, and that should cleanse the air, but she doesn't because she's dumb, and Zoe knows she's dumb, but she burns herb B to summon the spirits, I don't know which herb, and spirits appear, and at the same time, the ex shows up, Heath shows up, and he's all over Aphrodite, watching her boobs. And everybody's telling him to leave, but he doesn't want to leave because he's imprinted. I forgot that part.
Yeah.
He's imprinted on Zoe.
Yeah.
Which it's hilarious because, like, another point where Zoe is special and she's the best character and gets everything she wants. Not only did she get to kiss her ex, dismiss her ex, leave her ex, tell her ex he's dumb, then kiss him again, lick his blood, and then have him as her slave.
Yeah, Zoe's a player. Like, you know, she's a player.
She literally gets every single thing she ever wanted. So he shows up and she's like, oh, get out of here. You're not my boyfriend anymore. And he says,
Zoe, like, I'm still your guy. Like, you're my girl.
Then he completely forgets Zoe and tries to get Aphrodite. He gets into the circle of safety. The spirits try to get him. Aphrodite is trying to bait them to get Heath because she doesn't care. Which was actually something that actually was happening. It was the only part in the book something was happening. So the spirit smoke, blood amalgamation seeps through the earth and goes up Heath's pants and starts eating up his legs and blood spreads out and it's all graphic. And then Zoe just saves the day. So she gets in the circle. She starts chanting the right words to get rid of the spirits. She does some witchcraft. And Aphrodite is defeated. Zoe is the king and she belongs. And her mark on her forehead that's already been completely filled in, which should happen only after she's become a vampire, if I understand correctly. Mm-hmm. It already happened. She's not a vampire. She's a vampire. Nobody cares. And now, just to make her even more beautiful, it transforms into jewelry. And then she's got like a jewelry tattoo around her eyes or something.
Yeah, she gets like an adult vampire tattoo because they all have like forehead tattoos that are like.
So basically, not only did she save the day, fight the evil spirit and win and defeat her arch enemy Aphrodite and got rid of her ex again and then saved her ex just to be nice about it. Now she got jewelry by default as a reward. So the school, they don't know about this. It's in secret.
I guess so. Yeah, maybe whatever. Claire does know, but she's like testing Zoe. I think she kind of knows, like in the later books.
Got you, because Neferet's watching it the whole time.
Okay, there you go.
Okay, and she was like, "Oh, Zoe, you didn't get enough things, and you didn't get all the things you wanted, and now I pronounce you to be the leader of the Dark Sons and Daughters, and you are now daughter, and fuck you, Aphrodite, you're out!" That's what she says. Yeah. And Aphrodite is like, oh, it's not really black and white, and she recites the phrase I said at the beginning, like darkness, light, whatever, it's not black and white. And dark things shall come, you don't understand, Zoe. You don't understand, I saw the future, Zoe! And the book ends with the cheesiest ending in entertainment media I've heard in years. So the whole story, Zoe cannot fit. Can't fit in, doesn't have any friends, even though she has all the friends, even though she's fitting in.
And she can't fit in because her eyes are too big and her skin is too pale and her hair is too long and dark and her height is too tall and
her strength is too great
and she's a girl.
So I'll put a clip here from the audiobook just to end. It says that her knot in her stomach finally uncurled or something relaxed, and she looked around and all the friends were her friends and they left alone and all was great. And then tune, like music, and I was like,
what is that?
I looked at my roommate and new best friend. Whatever happens, we're in it together. I felt the knot in my stomach release. Let's go, I said. Surrounded by my friends, we all went home.
I couldn't deal. I couldn't not laugh at this ending.
That's a really bad ending. Even I forgot that.
So anything else before we stop? Any final words for the listeners?
If you, listeners, if any of you are that type of girl that talks like this, I fucking hate you. And those are my words from Jen, and I don't care what you say about it. You can just be like, this is my voice. You could talk differently. I fucking hate you. Goodbye.
Okay.
Thank you so much for listening. And on the next episode, we got together one more time with Book Retorts. This time we're doing a double feature. So on their show, you can check out the movie. And on our show, you can check out the book that the movie is based on. And the book in question, it's Slugs by Sean Hudson. In the spirit of Halloween, all October, it's horror time. So please rate us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and see you on the next episode.